Welcome, everybody, to Web and Beyond Live for November 8th, 2021. This is Celebrating Veteran-Led Small Business with Patra Frame, Strategies for Human Resources. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. I am president of W3 Consulting and managing director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain name registration, and other web-related services, primarily for small business. Web and Beyond Live is our weekly show about topical and timely small business, digital marketing, and related issues. Whether you're watching live or the replay or listening to the podcast, feel free to ask questions in the chat, in the comment section, and I'll do my best to answer them. And of course, you can always tweet at W3 Consulting on Twitter. So at W3 Consulting on Twitter, and I'll be happy to respond to you there. I know we've been off a couple of weeks, and so welcome back to everybody. And today I'm really excited. As I noted in the title of today's show, we're celebrating veteran-led small business. And of course, to do that, I have brought a very special guest and a dear friend of mine to the show to talk about that. And that person is, of course, Patra Frame. She started her career in the U.S. Air Force and then worked with GE plus several software development and online service companies before starting her own business. Strategies for Human Resources helps small employers achieve their goals through effective people management. She also happened to have been the Virginia Small Business Veteran for 2016, and she volunteers with the Virginia Small Business Development Center Network. And so welcome to Web and Beyond Live, Patra.
Great to be here. Thanks, Ray.
Always great to hear from you and talk to you. And so I couldn't possibly have encompassed your entire career, both as a U.S. Air Force officer, as well as your time as an HR expert. Can you give people just a little bit of background on you more than I did, so they get to know a little bit more about Patra like I do?
Sure. One of the things that was very different when I was in the service than now is that there were very, very few women. Less than 0.5% in the Air Force, and the Air Force, as a percentage, had more than anyone else. So it was pretty rare those days to see anyone who was not a nurse. And yet, at the same time, you had a lot of people who were World War II vets, and of course, they were much more likely to remember women in the service, especially nurses, but with great appreciation. So it was very different than the rest of the world in that sense, the vets' attitudes. And now, of course, if you look at women in the military, there are far more of them. At the higher end, the Air Force and the Army, it's over a fifth of the military is women. And we see that not only in terms of all the many jobs they do today, far more than were open when I was first in, but also in terms of what kinds of things they're interested in doing when they leave the military. And that includes a real increase in women veterans becoming entrepreneurs in the last 5 or 6 years.
Fantastic. And so, of course, we have Veterans Day coming up on November 11th, and that's this coming Thursday. And I thought if there were anyone on the show that would be great to have, it would be you to talk about this. And just to preface this, according to Wikipedia, and I'm quoting here, Veterans Day, originally known as Armistice Day, is a federal holiday in the United States observed annually on November 11th. And of course, it honors military veterans who are people who served in the United States Armed Forces, end quote. And so with that, you gave us some statistics here about the fact that we have more and more women veterans starting businesses. What else do you or can you help us understand in terms of the context by which veteran-led small businesses are, what they're doing in the world these days, whether it's the types of businesses they're starting, perhaps some fun facts in terms of numbers? Can you give us a little bit more context there?
Sure. When you look at veterans after World War II, almost half of all the small businesses that were established in the United States in the late 40s and 50s were, in fact, veteran-led. And you know a lot of those. You know FedEx, Marine Corps. You know Walmart, the Army. You may know Sperry Shoes, as in Sperry Topsiders, a Navy vet, and Remax, which is an Air Force vet. All of those big, large, ginormous companies that have been developed by veteran entrepreneurs starting them. And then we had a long decline in the number of vets going into the small business world. And in the recent, I would say, 7 or 8 years, maybe a decade, we're beginning to see more veterans doing this. And a certain number of them, especially those who had technical jobs while they were in the military, are really interested in looking at starting a high-tech kind of company of some kind. And they have, of course, the man who founded GoDaddy as probably their North Star. But you see a lot of that kind of thing. You also see a lot of veterans going into government contracting as small businesses, just as many veterans go into government contracting and the government for employment, because they know that function in their mind and they think that'll be safe. But you also have veterans doing a lot of small businesses, local, focused on services, on all kinds of, interestingly enough, now foods is a big one for them. And some women, especially, going into fashion and beauty services and products.
Fantastic. That's great context. And so I am really interested in the veteran space, mostly because, as you know, I have my youngest brother is a military vet, and I'm always curious about how people go through that process of transitioning from being, you know, a military, you know, in the military, and then coming out as a civilian. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of maybe the advantages and disadvantages that small business ownership affords veterans. What do you feel like are the best things that veterans bring to small business over their civilian counterparts, and or as they become civilians again? And then, of course, what maybe trips up many veterans when they try to start small businesses?
Sure. I think if you look at veterans, what you're seeing in terms of veterans, that their benefits of their military experience, first of all, it is they often have real breadth of knowledge. Most military people may have one specialty. You might be in combat arms. You might be in IT, but you do a lot of other things while you're in the military. And so many veterans come in with that real breadth. And as you know, when you're setting up a business, you have to do it all yourself. You're the CEO, but you're also the janitor. So you have to do a lot of things yourself. And that really serves well. There's a lot of mental toughness in veterans. That's a kind of, the culture pushes you toward that, and the work pushes you toward that. Also useful. And I think finally, a lot of veterans have some experience with plans and planning and how it all goes wrong. So pivoting that's necessary, especially in the pandemic, is not unusual for them. I don't mean that they don't have to think about it, but it's a much more been there, done that kind of a feeling for vets.
Yeah, I always find that the idea of planning is not new to a veteran small business entrepreneur. You know, they come in, right, and especially in the SBDC space, which is where you and I see a lot of small businesses come in. When I say small business plan, you know, I say we're going to put together a business plan, or we're going to look at the idea of putting together a digital marketing plan. There isn't as much of a shock factor when it comes to plans, because they're used to documentation and having to put together a plan to support what they're going to be doing.
Right. on the other hand, you asked about the things that hinder veterans. And there's some great research done by the Institute for Veterans and Military Families, which we'll talk about as a resource also. But they show that there are four big areas of problems. The first one is financial. A lot of veterans want to start a business and they don't have savings. They don't have a lot of emergency fund to keep their life going while they're starting this business. And way too many of them think that there's going to be some grant for them, not a loan, but they're going to get money from the government and they're never going to have to pay it back. And that money pot does not exist. Lovely thought, doesn't exist. So money is a big one. The second big one is the lack of their knowledge of business and contacts within business to understand how to do things, to find out more information and so on. I personally think that many people would do well to have at least one civilian job following their military service to help them begin to build all that up. But that's a big problem. Then we come to the issue of their lack of a business network and a personal network for that matter. Now, many military people move to a place that they've already been stationed and they love it. They might move to back to home, wherever home was, from which they may have been gone anywhere between 5 and 30 years. Or they stay in a location that's right near their last installation. And so they may have knowledge of the general area. They do not have business contacts. They don't have a business network. So they start, and unlike the average civilian, they don't have a lot of people that they can say, hey, Joe, what do you know about this? Who do I talk to about that? Any of those kinds of things. So that's a big set of problems for four big areas of problems for vets who want to become entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And I know that, you know, during the pandemic, I have seen certainly the economic recovery impact veterans in different ways. And it turns out that the ones who have been networking the most are the ones who have been the most stable and have weathered the Absolutely. Pandemic. And I, you know, right to your point, that the ones who do have networks, the ones that have been able to establish those networks, it's kind of funny. It's like the ones that came from maybe the DC metro area were stationed in the DC metro area and then ultimately started a business in the DC metro area. They did just fine because they had that support network and built up over time, both within the military and without. And, right. you know, it's really just important for them to recognize that. I also want to just point out that it's really important for people to remember that hiring veterans is a good investment. You get really hardworking people who know protocols, who are willing to learn protocols and execute. You know, they are doers in so many ways, and because they don't get that opportunity to not do in the military, and they bring those muscles, those mental muscles to the job. And I've just found that time and again, that level of mental rigor that you talked about comes to the veterans, certainly that I've hired and that I've worked with over the course of my time with the SPDC. And so the goal here is to then give them that opportunity to maybe get their you know, feet wet in a business environment, a small business environment, and then they can go on to champion their own small business entrepreneurial ventures. And I think that's always a good stepping stone for them. So with that in mind, what have you seen as being, if any, the issues that vetpreneurs kind of have faced during the COVID-19 pandemic, or just generally over the course of several economic, we've had, unfortunately, in the last, you know, 30 years, we've had several economic downturns. Do you know kind of what's your advice to them in terms of dealing with those economic downturns, especially when they're starting businesses in that space? What would you say they should do first when they're starting a business in this kind of it's a bit of a tumultuous time, right? We have a lot of uncertainty, a lot of economic recovery still to go through. And while the economy, for all measures, is doing really well, people still have a great anxiety about what's happening. And that can, of course, compete with the markets at large. So advice for people in terms of like what they should do.
Sure. Well, there's two things that I think are really important that I've noticed a lot of people don't have in this time. And that is, first of all, that they have not built much of a network. The network is not adequate. So as any small business owner, you have to continue to build your network. You have to be visible in your community. You have to be active. You have to be working to make connections, whether you're going to conferences, whether you're reaching out through social media, however, all of the above being a good answer. But that's one piece of it. And the other thing is, even more so than for many small businesses, for veterans, they may not have a real idea of what is available to them. And I think that's one of the most important things in terms of what we can cover, to talk about all those things that are available, because there are services, there are programs, there are all kinds of resources available for veteran entrepreneurs, and many of them don't know about them, so they don't take advantage of them. I'll tell you briefly, I was talking to an SBDC client, and they came in and for a meeting with me. And it was two very senior officers who had some brief experience in a big government contractor, ready to set up their own government contracting, and a person that they had hired as their kind of director of administration and all kinds of other things to support them. And they were going to do government contracting. And we had this meeting. And about 45 minutes in, one of them said to me, "We've been working on trying to find the answers to questions for 6 months that you just answered in this meeting that we didn't know until now." Now, I had not talked about anything that unusual, but they just had not known about these resources because they'd never come to them. They didn't know about some of these laws. And so there was a lot of stuff that we could do, boom, 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 boom. And they had all spent a lot of time and therefore a lot of money working on these things without knowing, because they had not contacted the SBDC. And that's small business development centers. Those are all over the United States. They hadn't contacted one of those, even though they lived and worked here, didn't know about them. So absolutely, that's why I think that whole piece of understanding resources is critical.
Yeah, we're about to talk about that. And just another pitch for the Small Business Development Center. It's a program of the SBA, and we're going to talk about the SBA shortly and its programs. But, you know, the reality is that whether they're staff or consultants like you and I, who have a specific expertise in an area that work at and with the SBDCs, many times we're learning about these processes, we're learning about these programs, and we're learning about these resources over the course of decades, we just know that they exist for small business owners, and especially in specific categories, whether they be service disabled veterans, or they be women, or minority businesses, these kinds of resources capable to you, we just kind of pick them up over time. And so it really is incumbent upon every small business owner to really reach out to your SBDC. There are 1,000 of them nationwide, including our territories, and each of them is regionally specific and geared to help you in your region be able to, survive and thrive, survive and thrive in your business venture. So really wanted to just kind of make sure people are aware that resource is out there and available to you. And it's just kind of the first step in getting toward a successful venture. But that being the case, let's focus in then on veteran-focused assistance. And you'd given me a list before we started recording, and so I have them to bring up on screen. So you tell me what you're going to be talking about, and I'll try and bring them up on screen for folks. And we can go through what they are and kind of what they provide in terms of things. So what do you want to tackle first?
So let's start with the government and therefore the Small Business Administration.
All right, let's pull up that one. And I believe that's this one.
So yes, so here you have, when you go to the Small Business Administration, SBA.gov, and you look for veterans, they have a ton of different resources for you. Now, they have other information services about the basics of business and a lot of education that's good for everybody. But here they have a lot of very specific information. And so the Small Business Administration at the federal level provides also support for these small business development centers, which we were talking about all across the United States. Many of them are affiliated with universities locally or economic development operations and so on. But there's a whole list of them on the SBDC website, and you can click and find one near to you. Then they have very specific kinds of information for veterans in general that and spouses, including, about services, about resources, and moving in then to specialized groups like women veterans, service-disabled veterans. And one of the things I want to emphasize there is that in addition to the federal services available through the SBA, many states also have veteran services that include services for entrepreneurs. So here in Virginia, Virginia is number one for women veterans per capita, and number two for veterans overall per capita. So Virginia is a very active veterans operation, but so does New York, so does Texas, so do a lot of places. So look at, in addition to the SBA and the SBDCs, you want to be looking at those state resources. Now, in addition to the SBDCs, many people are in an area that has a veteran business outreach center. And the VBOX, as they're called, are another great resource because those are networks of other veteran-owned businesses. So they can help you through because they've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You may find local groups like that as well, but those are federally funded groups, the VBOX and the SBDC. So they're a great resource, and they can help you from the planning stage right on up to when you've been in business for quite a while. And many of, like in the pandemic, you know, there were so many changes in laws and so many new opportunities. And we pushed those out to clients of the SBDC as fast as we could. And the VBOX did the same thing, so that veterans who needed payroll protection, veterans who needed money to keep going, this were ways that they got them during the pandemic. Then we go to things which are also vital. And we talk about the Institute for Veterans and Military Families. And this is a really wonderful success story started by an Air Force veteran and funded by a lot of the big banks and, of course, USAA and several others. And they have a terrific set of programs to help people who want to become entrepreneurs. I went to one of their first special programs for women. Those are called VWISE, veteran women in spirit of excellence, if I remember correctly. But they have all of them, including programs for both veterans and family members of veterans who are severely disabled. So they have a lot of great programs at IVMF, and they do a lot of great research. And they run the Boots to Business program, which any transitioning military person can go to at any time. And they just got, as part of the most recent acts to help the early stages of infrastructure and the acts to help under the CARES Act, they just got some additional funding for all of these programs. So these are great programs and they're really worthwhile. There also are a lot of local programs. So here in Metro DC, we have Dog Tag Bakery, which does a 5-month program. You not only learn about running a food business, but you learn about running a small business in general. And I was thrilled to read recently that Dog Tag Bakery has been so successful here the last 5 years, and they have been, that they now have a facility in Chicago that's going to be doing the same program in Chicago. There's also things like the Veterans Farmers Coalition, because of course, farming is certainly a small business when you begin. We think of big ag, but there's a lot of veterans who are interested in farming. And that's another one where these services exist, including local and regional and national programs for veterans who want to become farmers. So there's quite a lot of them. And then you want to learn, and you learn through these, about the fact that in many places, there are SWAM programs, which are those are for women and minority-owned businesses, and they often are ways to get into the colleges in a state, the big businesses in a general area. So there's a lot of different resources available for you. But if you start with the SBDC, and maybe you pick up a SCORE mentor, and SCORE is not just for veterans, but you as a veteran can get SCORE mentors in various areas that you need to grow your business. So there's a lot of great stuff out there.
Yeah, I think that you nailed it on so many of the resources. I wanted to just outline just a couple of other things that I've noticed on the state level. And again, if you're starting a business and your business can cater to any level of government, whether that be federal, state, and local governments, that be county and regional governments, or even city and towns, you're going to be doing some level of what's called government procurement. And government procurement itself, it can be a wonderful source of diversifying of your revenues. It could be for some businesses your total revenues, but for most businesses, it's a few contracts a year, and it helps to stabilize the business in that sense. And having one of those, either SWAM designation or, you know, service disabled veteran designations, those kinds of business designations help to give you preferential treatment to those governments so that you get the contracts ahead of some big other brand that would otherwise swallow all of the contracts whole. And so these are some really important things to look to find out. There are veteran organizations designed around being a veteran certified business enterprise and other kinds of things like that. So just keep that in mind. Also on the state level, it seems like in Virginia, for example, you have to be service disabled, veteran in order to have that minority category. But say in Pennsylvania, all you have to do is be a veteran-owned small business. And so know those designation, those little kind of differences, subtle differences. It's not stopping you from doing business with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus the Commonwealth of Virginia, two of the four commonwealths, by the way. And you know, it doesn't stop you, but know the difference, because then you can go apply for contracts with Pennsylvania and see if that is something that, especially if you're on the border, you know, you're kind of in that northeast or northwest neck of Virginia, you would be able to potentially pick up some contracts, and it wouldn't be that far for you to go to Harrisburg or, you know, that kind of thing, and do some work in that area. So just thinking creatively about where you're going to gain your revenues. The only other thing I wanted to mention were the SBICs. These are investment funds designed and designated. They are capped at being able to invest small amounts and have to be focused on small businesses. They're a program of the SBA, and SBICs are a great opportunity to be able to get investment in your business if you fit all the criteria and you have a good business idea that these SBICs want to be able to apply for. So go to the SBA website, look at the SBIC program, and see whether or not going to an SBIC and pitching your business to them could potentially be useful for finding seed funds to be able to get started. So, these are the programs available to you are quite robust. You just need to know where to look and really look to community programs. There's all kinds of community credit programs that provide fundraising and funding for small businesses. There's the Awesome Fund. They'll give $1,000 to anybody for a great idea, right? No strings attached. So it ends up being a grant for you to be able to just get those small funds. And what I've learned in my research is that most businesses don't need $500,000 to get started with their business. They need a couple thousand dollars and a lot of hard work. And so building that first couple thousand dollars can be done with just applying to some area grants and ones that fit your needs. Okay, I want to, in just the minutes that we have left, cover just a couple of minor things. And maybe, Patrick, you can give some thoughts here. Of course, what can we do for those of us who are not veteran-led small businesses, that is not including you because you are a veteran-led small business, but for me and those of us on the outside, what can we do to help veterans who are starting small businesses, who are already owning and operating small businesses? What can we do to help?
So in your community, there probably are veteran-owned small businesses, and if you can purchase from them, work with them, network with them, all of those are great things. And there also are a number now, it keeps increasing, of lists of veteran-owned businesses, that's many of them that are to consumers. So you look at something like the Rosie Network. That's one of them. There are a number. And you see, okay, here's a woman who makes wonderful soaps. Here's someone who makes a tire. Here's a better-known business that provides IT services that I could use in my small business. There's a wide range of them, and they're not that hard to find. Many of us put it on our own websites, but also a little Googling search will find you a lot of resources. And I wanted to mention just briefly that Ray talked about working with state and federal government agencies, but there are a lot of big corporate America companies that love to work with veteran-owned small businesses. They have that in their own plans. They do it for a number of reasons, but that's another great thing. And let me tell you, one of the veteran-owned businesses I know of got to the point that their stuff was in Walmart. I mean, this was a big thrill for the veteran-owned business and a huge step from being a really small business to growing really rapidly. But those are the kinds of things that you all have to think of as well. But
absolutely. Yeah. And from a marketing perspective, of course, because this is Web and Beyond Live, I can't help but say that if you come across a veteran-led business, remember that they should first have a Google business profile. This is formerly known as Google My Business. And so Google business profiles allow businesses to be able to be found on Google. And what they do is and most businesses apply to be able to get a Google business profile. I know some people think, oh, you can only have a business that has a retail space. And no, not anymore. Most businesses can apply for a Google business profile. One of the things that you can add to your Google business profile is that you're veteran-led. And so it puts prominently a chip on that page for the business that says they're a veteran and that they are the owner of the business. And that just helps to show for me as a consumer, hey, I'm supporting a veteran today. And I can feel good about that, both from my business hat, especially if I'm buying on behalf of the business, but also as a consumer. Hey, you know, veteran-owned bakery down the street, I'm going to go give my business to that veteran for their service. And it's just something nice that you can do for your community, you know, specifically, but for the veteran community at large. And so it's really, really great to have that kind of opportunity to do so. Patra, any final words, final thoughts, final gems?
I think when this week happens, most of us hear and see a lot about veterans. You know, there are special commemorative sections in papers. There's all kinds of stuff about veterans. Veteran-owned businesses need your support all year long. It's great to do this week, and I think this is, you know, useful more than this week. But many programs just pop up for Veterans Day and then they disappear again. But small business veterans need support all the time, as do all the small businesses in your community.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I want to thank you for your service, Patra. You gave and dedicated so much of your life to the U.S. Air Force, which helped to protect our country. And so thank you for doing that. And of course, and second, thank you for being here on Web and Beyond Live. And how can folks keep up to date with you and what you've got going on out there in the world?
Well, there's two easy ways. One is on Twitter, where I am at the number 2, Patra, P-A-T-R-A. So at 2 Patra. And the other is through my personal website. This is not my business website, but my personal website, which has a lot of information about military transition and about also a resource guide for military and veterans. And that is patraframe.com. P-A-T-R-A-F-R-A-M-E, all one word, .com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Patra. And thank you for being here on Web and Beyond Live.
Thanks, Ray. This was terrific. I hope it helps.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will. All right, everybody. That brings us to the end of Web and Beyond Live. I'm so glad that we had this opportunity to sit down with Patra Frame from Strategies for Human Resources. And just a couple of closing items. If you're watching the video, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That helps us to send the signals to YouTube and the Google gods that we're doing stuff well. So feel free to do that. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel and that will give you notifications when we go live weekly. I know we're a little bit off schedule these past few weeks, but I'm looking forward to getting back onto schedule for Mondays, usually around 11 a.m. Eastern. Now that we're back in standard time, we will be back at the 11 o'clock hour for our normal recordings. And with that, I hope to see you guys again next week for Web and Beyond Live. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing and managing your business on the Web and Beyond. Take care, everybody.